Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi there, you're about to listen to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with my guest Brett Goldstein. We're doing a Kickstarter campaign for the video version of this podcast at the moment. Go to gofasterstrike.com/Kickstarter if you want to join in. I want to thank everyone so much. It looks like we are going to hit, if we haven't already hit, by the time you hear this, our target of £50,000. I'm just bowled over and so moved that you care enough about this show to make small and large contributions to it. We actually need a little bit more money than budgeted for us. We've been hit by a couple of extra unexpected charges, so if you can keep going, that would be lovely. Also, any extra we get above that, we will of course just put into filming the next series of Rahelastapa. And if you don't like Kickstarter, there are lots of other ways to contribute. Go to gofasterstrike.com/badges. You can pay monthly. That money we're earmarking mainly for As It Occurs to Me, hopefully a future As It Occurs to Me coming up. You can just buy a one-off badge or just make a one-off donation. That money would be used for making other internet content, possibly other put towards the videos of Rahelastapa next time as well. So those are lots of ways you can make contributions, but we want to keep these free. The audio is going to continue free, whatever, and whatever happens with the video. So if you just enjoy this, that is fine. If you can't, we want to make sure that this is available to people who can't afford to pay for it, and also people who just won't afford to pay for it, who are pricks. We want them still to be able to hear it for nothing, because I don't think being a prick should stop you from enjoying great comedy. If you want to come and see me live or come and see one of the shows, that would be fantastic as well. LeicesterSquareTheatre.com. There are loads coming up from September the 27th to November the 29th with some fantastic guests coming up. If you pay monthly, just £1 a month, you get advanced details of what guests are coming up and an opportunity to book tickets ahead of everyone else. So that's another little incentive amongst many others within that. But if you can't afford to pay for it and you like it, just please just tell your friends about this show. And I'm still doing my 12 shows of Richard Herring at the Leicester Square Theatre on Friday the 11th of September. I will be doing Lord of the Dance Settee for probably the last time ever, I would imagine. And on the 12th of September, I am doing my new show, Happy Now, which is currently about 2/3 written, but there's still some time to go. So that one is very nearly sold out. So if you want to come see that, book ahead. Lord of the Dance Settee still has a few tickets left. Thanks so much to everyone who's come to that. That's been a very successful season. I can't believe I've got through it, but it's worked and I've been very happy with it. So again, I feel very chuffed that I'm getting this support for these endeavours. I'm glad you like the stuff. And seriously, just spreading the word and telling your friends about this is payment enough, especially if you can't afford to pay. But if you're a real prick, just enjoy this and don't tell anyone about it. Say, really love it, but keep it balled up in yourself and refuse to pay any money. And just and sit back and luxuriate in what a prick you are, and that you've got lots of money, you're not even prepared. If everybody listened to this gave us £1 a year, we could do 2 series of Rehearsals per year and As It Occurs to Me. That's how crazy this is, and I would love to get to that situation where everyone just voluntarily said, hey, look, all those podcasts are worth £1 a year, aren't they? Let's give that. It's not even going to Richard Herring, it's just going to pay for more stuff. But that's not going to happen. So, you know, it'd be nice if a percentage of you give a small amount of money every now and again. So thank you for keeping these going. And here comes Rehearsals-a-Per, 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 Rehearsals-a-Per with Brett Goldstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a man who has just noticed that his chair has a massive piss or shit stain on it that is not his own. It's Richard Herring! God, I'm still hungover from last weekend. It was just like I predicted. It's like I'm Nostradamus. Welcome to the show. It's called Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. But I was down in the West Bank of the Seine, if that's a thing. And a lot of the kids there, the French kids in berets and onions, were calling it Rehearsals de Peur. So that's becoming a thing, apparently. I completely forgot last week to read out the stuff I was meant to do. Very kindly, we've been doing a Kickstarter, and on my birthday, my 48th birthday, I spent an hour drawing around my own hand for you people. But you've been very nice to me, so I don't resent you at all. And drawing T-shirts. And there'll be another Kickstarter coming for the next series, if people are interested in that, with ridiculous prizes. Rewards, I think they're called. But I should have said this in the Bridget Christie episode. I don't understand it. It's from Jay Murphy. Are you in, Jay Murphy? Andrew McAlden read some Gissing now. I don't understand what it means, and nor does anyone else. It's just created an awkward tension. This is a beautiful one for this that should be in this week's that I have remembered. Lee Blackshaw has sent this in. Are you in, Lee? No. It's possible. I took my then-girlfriend to see Someone Likes Yogurt, which will be at the Leicester Square Theatre at some time in August. It's probably time has passed. To test her humour. 10 years later, we're still together and I have a 1-year-old baby. So remind Joe Cooper that she's both lovely but also a fucking idiot. That's better than a cryptic message. You know how Gissing... That might be a code word for a terrorist, that whole Gissing thing. Me forgetting to say it was probably the best thing I've ever done. And now that's going to come out, nuclear bomb on nuclear bomb on London, that's what's going to happen. Will that ever happen?
Never.
Will never happen. Why will it never happen? London's too big to nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
You don't know much about nuclear physics, mate. You know Hiroshima? Bang. They could blow up a bit of London, though, right? Yeah, okay, so that's really my main concern. It's not like that they'll get the whole thing. It's just if they drop a nuclear bomb on a bit of it, that would be a shame. The very cool gentleman in the front row, very one of the cool kids, look at that little wispy beard. What's your name, sir?
Lee.
Lee? Yeah, I used to know a guy. Do you want to do a double act? What do you do for a living apart from being cool and gorgeous? You work for a charity? Wow, he's so cool. Are you with this guy, are you with Lee? Yeah, what's your name? Lauren, that's cool. And are you with him because of his charitability or because he's very hot?
Yeah.
It's just he's hot, isn't he? He's really hot. I would go out. You're in danger. I don't usually say this. You've done really well. You've done really well. I mean, I'll let the people at home judge. So because he's so gorgeous, you're also gorgeous as well. What do you do, Lauren? You work in customer service. You're evil, and he's like a charity. What charity is it? Is it an evil charity? Disabled children, that is the best one. I can't even take the piss. There's nothing I can do to take the piss out of you for that. Except I do a lot of work. I've raised £300,000 for Scope. I'm not showing off, but I'm not expecting a massive round of applause for that. I do it out of the goodness of my heart. And I don't want a massive round of applause. What I want is a little blue parking badge for my car fucking wants £300,000. They can just give it to one person. I'll limp out of the car every time I get out. Apparently that makes me sick. Have you ever been tempted just to take one of the disabled parking badges and stick in your... No. You've never even thought of that, have you? That's the difference between you and me. That's why you're young. You wouldn't say, though, would you? If you're not, I'm not even filming, you know. No, that's right. It was a test, and you've passed it. You're allowed to keep your job at the Disabled Children Charity. Well done. People have turned against me. It had to happen. I'll apologise to him now. We might let him ask a question another week. His name was Toby Pearman, or Pearman, who knows, who wanted me to ask Bridget lots of questions. I should have asked her, if you had to work for a lads magazine for 5 years, which one would you choose and why? I'm quite glad they're not. It seemed inappropriate. And do you think this would be better or worse than the Daily Mail? I'm glad they didn't ask it now. But I'll get him to ask another question, unless he's satisfied with that. It's unlikely. I'll just give you your 60 quid back, all right? Do you hate me that much? All right, we're going to crack straight on, because the audience have literally turned against me. I can never win them. Out of all the things I've said in my life, I can never win them back from this. Will you please welcome a man? He's probably best known. Usually this isn't true, but this is true. He's probably best known for his appearance on Weekend Kitchen with Waitrose. It's Brett Goldstein, ladies and gentlemen. Brett Goldstein. Welcome. Come in. Sit down. How are you doing?
Thank you. It's lovely to be here Weekend Kitchen with Waitrose tour.
It's good, yeah. Do you remember? Who was hosting Weekend Kitchen with Waitrose?
I remember it very well because I was on with Kerry Godleyman.
Oh, yes.
And we had to promote Derek.
Yeah.
And we were also on... I've already realised, right at the beginning, I want to tell you a story that I would then not want you to put on. We were on with Catherine Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so bad.
Yeah.
Don't use any of this. It was so bad and awkward and weird. And they cooked us food, and the food was fucking horrible, which was genuinely shocking, because I thought, well, obviously, they have like this master chef. And we were sat there and they asked us terrible questions. They clearly didn't know who we were or why we were there, much like you lot, I'm sure. And then there were like seven cameras and they had loads of auto cues. So I kept looking. I never knew which camera was on. We just sort of sat in this kitchen. And often when I watched it back, I'm just staring down the lens like a serial killer, just looking like the fuck is going on. And me and Kerry were sort of laughing, and Catherine, oh God, she's not in, is she? Catherine, National Treasure Catherine Jenkins. So we thought, oh, we're all in this together, we're the three guests. And we sort of, there was a bit where something was happening over here and we weren't on except for me staring down the lens. And Catherine, we sort of turned to Catherine Jenkins to sort of be like, let's be a gang. And we sort of went, that's a nightmare, isn't it? And she just sort of smiled like a robot and went, do you like cooking? And I thought, me and Kerry looked at each other like, what the fuck is going on? Shame you can't use it.
We can work around it.
Okay.
It's a shame you don't have a story about being on Weekend Kitchen with Waitrose, because I do. Now I was on with Caroline Cork. I think Caroline Cork, one of the Corks it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not the man. It definitely wasn't the man core. It was one of the other cores. But then they brought up... We used to do a routine about the cores. I used to fancy... which one did I fancy? The pretty one. They're all lovely. I can't remember. Andrea Core I fancied.
Right.
And we had a shrine to her. And then with the other ones crossed out on it. And I'd gone about the man core and have a thing through her face. But she'd never heard about that, so I had to discuss this...
Wow.
Discuss this with her. But she was quite funny. She was up for a laugh. She quite enjoyed it. Quite flirtatious with me, I thought, for a woman who was married and knew I was married. So, you know, the shrines. Well, I had a Julia Sawala shrine, and then 5 years later, I went out with Julia Sawala.
This shit works.
Yeah, so I would have taken, you know, it wasn't the core I wanted, but
right.
I would have, it's close enough. If you squint, then they're pretty similar. I mean, to be honest, I would have had sex with the man core. If it was, it's still the same. It's the same genetic material. That's all you have to look at it on a molecular level. So it was a shame you didn't have a story about Weekend Waitrose, because I did. I was on with Lisa Snowden and...
Yes, that's who I was on.
Jamie Theakston, I think. I don't know. I've done so many of those things. I can't...
The other thing that happened is after we'd done three sections, Lisa Snowden said, my name is Brett, by the way, for this bit, and Lisa Snowden said, let's go back to the kitchen with Kerry and Ben. It cuts to me and you see me go, fuck. Yeah. It's a really good episode.
I don't think anyone watches it.
Literally no one, just
it's
me.
It's really
just
early in the morning as well. It's live, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to go out to Pinewood or somewhere to film it.
Yeah.
It's really... Oh, the food was nice when I did it. Not that you said anything different.
Get that quiet.
I'm a massive fan of yours, Brett, and I'm not... Thanks. I'm not. I don't think everyone will be aware of who you are.
Sure.
Chris Evans, not that one, didn't know who you were, and he knows a lot about comedy.
Fair enough.
even when I said he's in Uncle...
Yeah, nothing.
I said, he's in Derek. He said, I don't watch that.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't fancy watching that, so I never watched it.
Fair enough.
I know where he's coming from.
Scott,
I never watched it, so I can't. You're in Scott in Drifters.
Yep.
You kind of specialise in sexy men next door or with people. You go out with Nick Helm's sister, is that right?
His
ex girlfriend in Uncle.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a philandering man who... No, that's not fair. Drifters, you're a nice guy who...
I'm nice
fancies.
In Drifters. Yeah. I'm evil in Uncle. Yeah. I got such
Two
a range.
Got range. Yeah. And you're in Hoff the Record.
That's right.
Tell us about it, because that's, as we record this, that's... I don't know if it's started up yet.
Yeah, it's on episode 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it? Come on, no.
No, I'm glad everyone's watching it.
Is everyone watching it? What's David Hasselhoff like in real life? I had to really think about what his name was then, because the Hoff put me off. I was thinking David Hoffelhaff, I was going to call him.
David Hasselhoff is fascinating. No, I really like him. He's really lovely, but he drinks a lot of Red Bull. He produces about 10 Red Bulls a day. I don't know if that's an expose. He's got a lot of energy from all that Red Bull. And he tells a lot of stories, and he's lovely, and he wants you to like him. He's really nice. And,
yeah.
And he's very generous, because the show's sort of semi-improvised, and he doesn't go, shut up.
Well, let's give people a bit of a background on you, because you've talked about these things, so you're definitely on stage to people, so you'll definitely talk about this. Have you done more than two stand-up shows? You've done two...
No, about to do the third.
Third one.
Yeah.
So the first one was... grew up in a strip club.
Yeah, Brett Gustin grew up in a strip club.
Yeah, and you grew up in a strip club.
Well, it was my dad when I was 20. I say grew up, but I was innocent. And my dad had a midlife crisis and left my mum and bought a strip club in Marbella, and I went out there to help him. And in the end, 1 year later, I was still there. And that was that story.
And that was, you got an hour out of that.
Got, yeah. Got could have hour. Got more, actually.
Yeah, you could have done. But he left you in charge of it.
A lot of really dark shit happened. And because basically my dad used to run a bookshop. And he's a really nice man. He's a really, really nice man. And he sort of decided to open a strip club, and I have this in the show, but none of you have seen it, so it's fine. But I said to him, what do you know about running a strip club? And he said, well, it's a business, isn't it? It's the same as running a bookshop, just instead of selling books, we're selling dances. And I said, yeah, but you've never had to throw anyone out of a bookshop for fingering a Zadie Smith. But also, he just thought it would all be, you know, he thought if you run, like anything, you run it sort of clean, it'll be clean. But the problem is, when you open something in the underworld, you attract the underworld. And it got so dark so fucking quickly. And, mad old time.
Yeah. And what kind of relationship did you have with your father that he employed you in a strip club?
Well, it was actually my mum that made me go. It was her idea. It wasn't his idea. She said... You've never had a gap year. and it'll be a good experience. And yeah, fair enough. Fair play, I got a show out of it. You know. I don't know that he was Because in a way, I wondered, when I look back on it, I think I might have been a downer for him because he's thinking, fuck, now I've got eyes on me. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've got a spy.
That's but, what your mum was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, they're all lovely people. I want to be clear on that.
As and is the strip club closed down now? Yeah. Or has it gone other...
Well, it's now been... So it's, I actually went to... This was like a while ago. I went to visit it the other day because I was in Spain and I still have some friends there and I thought I'll have a look at what the club has become and I don't know what the fuck it was but it was like a really really fancy nightclub that only had women in it but they weren't dancers. I hate to make assumptions but I think it was a brothel and a really fancy one but it's next door to a brothel. The whole area is awful. Anyway, I don't know what it is now but it seems like something's up. It's got a history.
It sounds like. And then the next show was contained scenes of an adult nature.
Yes.
Which I saw this show. It was a great show.
Thanks.
Difficult second show, but the first show has been a bit, but it was a big success. But the second show was did really well as well. It was about online porn, amongst other things.
It was about porn and the struggles. Listen, you know, you've just had Bridget Christie last week and you know it was sort of I think the difficulties of being a feminist when you're a man and there's the fucking internet and about porn and and I'm clean I haven't looked at porn in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, really truly. Wow. But what I've discovered is
have you listened to it?
I've overheard stuff. I have discovered if you blanketly avoid all of it, you then realise how fucking it's everywhere else. It's very hard to avoid. And when that Beachbody Ready Protein World thing came out, I found that very troubling because there isn't, you know, something happens. doesn't matter what you're thinking here. Like I was looking at that person, I was thinking, yeah, this is a real issue, and he loves it, and it's and it's difficult, you know. You want to keep. I think you could anyway. That I pointed at my penis for the audio listeners.
But they got it. They're clever. Yeah. The audio listeners are very clever.
Okay.
And if they're not, they'll go, I wonder what's happening now. I'd go to YouTube and check the free video.
I'll check in
and maybe I'll go to Kickstarter and add some money so that the next series can be filmed as well, just in case Brett points his penis next time and I don't know what's going
on. You've got to put something on for the visuals, haven't you?
You do. Yeah. But you know, I think I'm just getting older. I find, you know, the problem with pornography.
Yes.
Which I talked to Louis Theroux about this for a while. Louis Theroux put me off using pornography because I just thought of his face coming into now. It was because he's. When he came in dressed as that park ranger, it just put me off my stroke of the gay porn that I love watching. In his show, he kind of revealed the real people behind, and it was just sort of so tragic.
So sad, and that lovely man, he just wanted love. And every time he was going to a porn shoot, he came to the camera and he went, yeah, she doesn't really like me. It was sort of heartbreaking. You thought, yeah, of course she doesn't. You're at work.
So for a while, I felt morally culpable in the destruction of those people's lives.
Yeah, you're over it.
I got over it. But now I'm just older. It's just boring. I mean, I think I've talked with this with Rob Delaney, but it's just boring and like not in a good way. It's like, it's, you know, it's just this, they're all so, pornography gets so similar. Yeah. So and it's just the same story every time. No one's in love with each other. I mean, yeah, but the story is a man puts his penis in a woman's mouth, vagina, and arsehole.
Yeah.
And then ejaculates on her. It's just that it's
very touching.
It's the very same story. Just one time, maybe ejaculate next to her or something.
Yeah.
Or just someone else comes in unexpectedly.
Or ejaculate in a bin. And then a cleaner comes in and removes it. Yeah. Thank you.
So... I just find it, you know, I think once you get a bit older, I think it's interesting. I'm going back and doing all of my solo shows again, and it's very interesting to see the levels of you know, the way your life changes and the way your, you know, passions and whatever changes. And when I was turning 40, I was like sort of driven insane by my midlife crisis, and my libido got just unbelievably big, and it was already quite big already. That's just my libido. you know, and I became more obsessed with sex than I'd ever been, and I was always obsessed with sex. But now,
you're over it.
Once you've had a baby, I mean, fuck, you realise what you can do with it, and it's a dangerous weapon. You think that's it now? That's over. But I don't, you know, I don't. I actually don't. I'm sort of worried that the libido is gone from that level. So I wouldn't look at a picture. I would guess if you'd not looked at pornography for 2 years and then you saw a picture of a woman just wearing quite a lot of clothes, that might be enough to...
Yeah, yeah, anything will set me off.
Yeah. Was this you on here?
Yeah.
you were sitting in my chair? Because it's like brown coloured. That is wrong. That is some back pressure.
It's been a long time, I'm telling you. 2 years. 2 years. It's all rotted in there. It comes out like that. What was the question?
It's just an interesting discussion about pornography.
Well, I think your libido goes in, as far as I can see, it goes in cycles.
It does.
And do you think that it is that creative, I don't want to sound pretentious, but creative energy is the same as sexual energy? Like if you're doing a lot of sex and your libido is big, you're probably not making anything good.
Well, come and see Oh Fuck I'm 40 and decide for yourself, which I'll be doing when I'm 48. I don't know, it is weird. Well, it's, I think, certainly not having to worry about all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, as much as meeting my wife was wonderful and I was in love with her and all that stuff, but actually then I stopped drinking for a while, not last night. I mean, a week ago last night.
Yeah.
I mean, about 2 months ago, because this takes ages to go out. But, you know, that gave me a lot more time, just that. But then also, you're not thinking about where am I going to go after the show. You're thinking, oh, thank God I can go to bed. Because my daughter's kept me woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, so I can now sleep. But that definitely changed. So I think I think that's true. Which is sort of interesting, because my new show is sort of a little bit about whether being content is good or bad as being a comedian. It seems being a bad thing, but I think it's quite a good thing. For that reason, I think you channel your creativity into
work. Name three good, happy comedians. Go.
Charlie Caroli, the clown, for your time. I think there are. I mean, there is a lot of angst in a lot of the kind of edgy comedians, but I think they're a good. I mean, Eric Morecambe was happy.
Was he?
I think so.
Okay.
I think a lot of those old school guys are happily married. Bob Hope was...
Jasper Carrot seems happy. He does. Yeah. I don't know him. He always looks smiling.
Doesn't do much comedy anymore. He was good on Golden Balls. What happened to that? That was good, Golden Balls.
Yeah.
Remember it? If you were on Golden Balls...
Yeah.
And there was like £100,000 in the pot.
Yeah.
And it was you versus me. Would you share it or would you steal it?
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, so if we both put steal, neither of us get it. If we both put share, we share it. If one of us puts steal and one of us puts share.
How much is it?
£100,000.
I'd share it. Yeah. Would you steal it?
I would now. What I did there was clever, right?
Yeah.
I think I would. I think the correct thing to do is prisoner's dilemma is what it is actually.
Oh, but if we both say share, we lose it.
No, if we both say share, we get it. We share it.
Oh, right.
So that we both get 50 grand.
You'd feel like such a prick if you...
But you see people do it. It was a good show, wasn't it? Golden Balls. Where's it gone? Better than that one where they just do the 2p's machine, isn't it?
Oh, that's my favourite show. The Tipping Point.
Yeah, 2p
Fuck
machine.
Fuck me, that's incredible.
Hey, they should call it the 2p machine. That's when it should be 2p's.
It's hypnotic. It is hypnotic. Tipping Point is genuinely one of the best things I've ever... I can watch that for days. Like, what the fuck is going on? And why are they... This man's got a talk. Everyone on it looks mad. The host looks existentially depressed, and I don't blame him. And it goes on forever, and you think, you're just pushing a finger.
I like it when they have to guess what they think. It's coming down and going, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
And they go, man, I don't know, it's could might go where it needs to go. Oh, it hasn't gone. It's gone a bit over. Yeah, it might. A, you can pretty much tell what's going to happen, so it doesn't really need a commentary. But B, should we just wait? It's only been like 10 seconds. Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see what happens. I don't need to predict it.
It's an hour, that show, isn't it? It's not. It's not like a 25-minute... Yeah. You're watching a lot of coins going a lot of slots.
I like the element of luck in it. It's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that most of the people are having it are really stupid.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
And that's fair, because if you... if you get someone who's very clever on it and then just doesn't go their way, you sort of think that's not really fair. Yeah. But as long as everyone's
all
stupid.
Idiots. Yeah. I sort of, and also I always wonder, is there someone on it who's genuinely, this has been their dream, you know? And good luck to them. It's my dream.
It's very exciting when the star one's going. Yeah, it's good, but I've never, you do a thing with Pointless where I sometimes go to the gym and exercise all the way through Pointless as a 50-minute workout.
On Pointless? This is what you did on it?
No, I watch Pointless at the gym. I watch it on
Okay.
It's quite a good workout because it's 50 minutes and you've got to keep cycling or running or whatever you're doing. But I've never done it with tipping. You wouldn't do it with Tipping Point.
No. It doesn't motivate you.
It doesn't. good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can wrap up now. I just really want to know what you'd do in Prisoner Dilemma. So we'll find out what you'd do in Prisoner's Dilemma. I will ask you an emergency question.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to ask Bridget any, because, you know...
Last week, yeah.
She was really interesting. So, didn't Purple. Keep saying, we can't use that. I'm joking! He's all right. If you had to go to a desert... I'm really joking, I'm sorry.
It's all right, I'm aware.
If you had to go on Desert Island Dicks, what would which eight Richards would you take to a desert island?
Eight of them.
Eight Richards. You get me already, so don't worry. I know that'd be your first thought.
You're coming to the island?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm like the Shakespeare Richard Herring.
Is there anything else on this island?
It's a desert island, you know.
Like,
so
it's got
basic provisions that you
shelter.
Can...
Shelter.
Well, you can make your own shelter.
Can we go to Richard Branson's island?
That would be quite good. Necker.
Yeah, okay. I'd take Richard Branson. Why would I take him? I'd take... I don't know.
Because his name's Richard. That's a good...
Eight Richards.
Really, what you're doing here is how many Richards can you
Richard
name?
Richard Branson. Richard
You
Herring.
Get to four and then you won't be able to think of any more. And then there'll
Richard
be quite...
Richard Osmond.
Yeah.
For chat.
Yeah.
And facts.
Yeah, you got that helped you with Pointless.
Richard Gear for blinking.
Yeah.
Richard... That's four.
I told you. Yeah. Four.
My mate Richard.
Yeah, you can take him.
Lovely bloke.
Yeah.
You'd like him. I would have a lot of chat. Well, there me aren't
many Richards.
Googly.
It's not that there aren't many Richards. It's a dying name.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about it. You could take Richard, who ran the farm that Bridget Christie worked on.
Yeah. He could hose us down when it's too hot. Richard.
I'll just wait here till you've got all
it. Okay. This is fucking gold, as I remember people called Richard.
It might lead to an interesting place. You know, I met Ben Shepherd at Buckingham Palace.
Who's Ben Shepherd?
He's the guy who does Tipping Point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Talked to him for quite a while. He was in my little group when we met Princess Anne. He's a very nice guy.
Have you had him on here?
No.
You've got to ask him where his ideas come from. But,
don't think he has any of his own. I think he came up with Tipping Point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went in sabbatical. A lot of these things I've thought, I genuinely thought that would, I thought of that idea and thought that's stupid.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to think of quiz shows, that's, I spent a lot of time.
Well, there was that
the
Heads and Tails,
there
which was another of my
You know who hosted
shows?
That?
Justin Lee Collins.
Yeah, that's what happened to him. So. What happened to him? He's just finished.
Yeah.
He's on...
he's on FUBAR.
FUBAR Radio. Are you on FUBAR Radio?
No, you...
I was, yeah.
Was.
Yeah. They've had a lot of people on there.
Does anyone listen to it? Can I say that?
No, you can say that.
Okay,
and,
does anyone?
No, they don't.
Okay.
You were our guest on one. You came on with
It changed my life.
Yeah.
My career really took off after that.
Did you get any tweets from that?
No, nothing. I mean, no. I didn't even listen to it.
No.
And I watched Weekend Kitchen.
You were just staring into the microphone.
Yeah.
It was very strange. No, I'm amazed it's still going, FUBAR Radio, but it's still... Can the nerds confirm? Andy McH would know. It's still going.
Do people listen? Do you listen? No.
No, even Andy McH doesn't listen. I mean, that is how...
It's like shouting into the void, isn't it? But...
Well, I mean, you're on thin ice here saying that on my podcast. So, getting dangerously close.
Okay. But you don't do it anymore, right? Cause
no, I don't do it. I didn't... I was... my contract expired.
Okay.
Which was helpful. And...
oh, shit. I don't know what can of worms. I just...
I was unhappy with who the other people they had on the station. Because it started out like... Mm. I was told it was going to be a comedy station. And then suddenly these other names, like Justin Lee Collins, which, yeah, you know, he should be allowed to work again. But it's sort of slightly odd to be handing over from one hairy man to another. And then John Gaunt was on for a while. Though I saw John Gaunt. I was driving down... John Gaunt, who I don't really talk about much anymore. We used to talk about him a lot. Do you know who John Gaunt is, people?
I don't know who that is.
He's like a shock jock kind of guy. He's a very interesting man. He used to run TikTok Theatre, I believe, in Coventry, which did a lot of kind of left-wing plays. Yeah. And then he's become quite a right-wing gentleman, a UKIP. I think he was a supporter of UKIP, and he writes for tabloids, or he used to. And then he did FUBAR Radio, and I think they parted ways.
Right.
One way or another, I don't know what happened. But then he gets on Twitter spats. He kind of tries to get me involved in the Twitter spats, but I'm not interested. But I saw the other day, as I was driving back into London on the M4, he's taken out, I presume himself, some of those billboards above, you know, as the M4 comes into shit. London, where that LucasAid one is.
Yeah, yeah.
Near to there, that's been there forever. It looks nice. It makes me want to drink LucasAid. You don't need... there's two billboards of his face and just his website on there. It says, John Gaunt's back. I think you can see from the excitement how most people go back from...
Holy shit.
And he's taken out two adverts for his own podcast. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should...
As you drive into London on the M4, that bridge.
Or drive out. You can see it on the way. Of it, yeah. There's one in both directions.
It's the end of days.
It's interesting. He's a very interesting man.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6-foot-tall penis or a man who, instead of having a penis, had a tiny man in where his penis was, who was a living man, which of those two things...
Has he cleaned his foreskin?
Yes. The tiny man doesn't... Well, there's a
debate.
Does
the tiny man have a penis?
Yeah, well, he has another tiny man all the way around. So there are no foreskins. Man. It's just all the way around.
So if you're going out with a man who's got a man for a penis, if you were to have sex with that man, the little man's penis is the thing you're going to have sex with?
No, you'd have sex with the little man would be the
whole
penis.
Man's going in. What? Yeah. Just holding his breath?
Well... I've been informed that because he shares a cardiovascular system with the man, he does not need to breathe.
He's got guilt. What, he's like a fish?
His blood is oxygenated via the man's breath.
So as long as
the big man can breathe, the little man can breathe in any... I'm not sure the breathing would be the main problem you would have. But
that's my main concern.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe for you, it depends where you're putting him.
Well, you're right. I suppose it's going to go in and out so he can keep going.
Well, if it's you, it's going in one of two places.
Yeah.
Neither of which I think the little man will be that excited about. One of which I think he'll be actively not wanting to go into.
Yeah. The little man's not into me.
The
big man's like, oh, I like this guy. But the little guy's like, oh, really?
Well, I don't know if it's... I think you'd have to get both their permission. I think it's a difficult legal case. But I think you would have to have consent from both. Because he's still a man.
Can you negotiate? Yeah.
So he'd have to want to do it. So that's fine.
So basically, I've gone on a date. I've managed to charm big guy. Yeah. But I've also got can we have a chat?
And I don't know what point that... I don't know if,
man in pants.
If you're out on the date, the big man goes, there's someone I want you to meet.
Okay.
And that's part of the date. Or if the date's successful, you get back and he goes, there's someone you should meet before we move on, because although I consent, you will also have to get his consent.
The man in the pants, he's got to sort of stand tall, right? Yeah. He's got a...
Easy enough, isn't it? It's got a spine.
Yeah. But he's got to keep it.
Yeah. He's got a skull. He's got a skull. It's not... He can't go flaccid. Okay. I don't know if he grows at all. That hasn't been a decision.
Is he wearing... boots? The little man is naked.
He hasn't got any feet. Is the first problem. So he isn't wearing boots. His feet are. He's just growing out of the testicles. The testicles are still there.
So he's like an amputee. He's like
no. He's got.
He's a top half man.
Well, if he has feet, you can't put shoes on them unless they are somehow cut.
Unless
maybe
they're
some
like
Velcro or some
popping out on top of the balls.
Just how would you get those shoes on? You'd have to pull them over his head.
Also, so then the alternative is big penis. What's going in me? All of it. The whole 6 foot.
Well, if you're brave enough to take that, I think you might be.
Has the 6 foot penis got. It's just literally a penis.
Yeah, it's got a face, obviously. But
if I were to have sex with a 6 foot penis, I'm assuming I have to go through the blowhole. Yeah. I have to, because that's the only place it's going to fit. Yeah,
or maybe his mouth, if that's a different.
He's got a face, okay.
He's got a face on the top.
I'm going to go with the little man.
Okay.
the little amputee man, because.
A lot of people do go with that.
Yeah. He sounds friendly as well, and he's been through a lot, and I'd be gentle with him.
I think he likes you. He likes you already. You're nice.
Have you got a little penis man? is this a setup for later? Is this the bit we never see? That you have there? Come back to the stage, I'll show you. And he's like, watcha.
Do you think having sex with a robot counts as infidelity? Because everyone
really
else does,
question.
But my wife does. I was watching.
What's
humans.
The robot's face?
The robot's like a human being, looks like a human being, but it's not a human being. I was watching Humans, I've caught up with Humans, I've only seen the first two episodes. It's getting a bit more, it started well, I thought, it's getting, it could speed along a little bit. But he finally has, the husband has sex with the, and he was arguing from my point of view. And they made him quite an unpleasant character.
Right.
And I thought, unfairly, I was going, the wife wasn't listening, and my wife was saying, see. And yeah. I was, no, hear him out. Listen to his reasons for having sex. She's a machine. She's not a human being. Just because she looks like a human being.
She looks and feels and all of that like a human being. But
she
she's
isn't
got
a person. She's just a machine. He calls her a sex aid. I wouldn't do that to my robot.
No.
But that is true. It is true. That's what she is. So, you know, would you...
I think for it to be sort of okay, you sort of have to remove the face.
That's worse, surely.
For your wife, because then it's like, no, I'm just having sex with this. I'm just having sex with a box. But if it's got a face and the face is nice and
just
it smiles,
yeah,
then it feels like a person, doesn't it? But and that's what.
So that's the point.
I suggest you take its head off, and then you can. I think I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
As your wife.
Is that true of women as well, or just robots?
Yeah, if you take.
Because it's like, I did a joke about that in one of my old shows, which is very distasteful, about the...
It's not cheating if they're dead.
It's the female eunuch, the front cover of the female eunuch was just like a torso with no arms, no legs, no head, just the good bits. And then I explained that a woman has to have a head if I want to actually go out with that. The first thing I look for in a woman is that I go, oh, she's got a head, that's good.
Yeah.
Now let's move on and see what other bits she has. But the head is the first thing I look for in a woman.
You're a romantic.
It's interesting going back and doing old material because, it's, now I'm an older man. I don't like a lot of the stuff I used to do. I don't really particularly like that joke.
Now you've got to plough through.
Well, I don't have to do it. It's an interesting, discussion about whether I can change it and whether I can miss some bits out. But it's also quite interesting to force myself to do.
You've got to sell it like you mean it.
Yeah, well, it's hard. I mean, I think that's going to be the hard thing. Is to do the shows around 39 and 40 are I'm playing a kind of more angry version of myself and I say some horrible things. I think if you see the whole show in context, it kind of makes sense.
Right.
If you take bits out of context, they're not very nice. So it'll be hard to sell those as someone who isn't feeling anything like that anymore. It'll be interesting to see if it works. People should come and watch it.
I hope they do. Mm. Is it every day you're doing a different show?
No, it's six weekends. It's Fridays and Saturdays. Stupid, isn't it?
Really stupid.
Yeah.
Good luck with it.
And it's only these... There'll be these blokes here.
Just
all sitting there
people.
Laughing at me, going, well, yeah, you had to learn all those shows. And look, it's just us. Because we didn't tell our friends about it.
It's our little secret.
That's how they like it. We love you, Rich, but no one else must know. So you are in. How is your film coming along? Is it out?
You're going to film. No, it will come out in October.
Wow! So it's called Super Bob.
Super Bob.
And it's about an English superhero.
Yeah, it's about the world's only superhero, and he lives in Peckham. And the film is set on his day off, and he has his first date in 6 years, and stuff happens. And
so Catherine Tate's in it.
Catherine Tate's in it. Plays my boss.
Yeah.
And David
Harewood's in it.
Yeah, Harewood, yes.
Yeah. Nat Tenner from Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Which I don't watch.
Don't but, you?
Yeah. She's
this
in
is
that.
A Lannister.
Yeah.
The Lannister book.
Ah, wicked. Yeah. So excited to
and
see
so
that.
So is it coming out all over the world? Is it an independent out, film? Is it a,
it's an independent film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've is which, it your you've written this with your mate?
I wrote it. We spent 5 years making this film. I would suggest if you're interested in making films, I mean don't. It's a fucking nightmare. It takes so long.
Yeah.
And 5 years, like it's a long time, isn't it? To stick with you're going back to your shows.
Yeah.
If you write a joke and then you have to wait 5 years to see if that joke lands. It's a long time.
Yeah. But it's an amazing thing to have achieved.
Yeah,
so you've
I'm
got,
very
you've got,
proud
you've got
of
backing
it.
From you've written this idea, yeah. This idea and then you've got backing.
Yeah.
Is it a big budget? What's the kind of budget is it?
I'm genuinely not allowed to say.
Okay.
I don't know why that is, but I'm not allowed to say.
Okay.
But
you're allowed to say whether it's small or medium or large.
It's not tiny.
Right.
But it's definitely not big.
Yeah. It didn't cost.
But I think we don't
million.
Want to say that because no one likes the sound of saying when you go, yeah, it's really small. People go, why the fuck would I go see it there?
Well, there's lots of great films with small budgets. Better films with small budgets. So, but yeah, but a lot of people have ideas for films. I've had lots of ideas for films and none of them have ever got made because it's difficult
it's
to make
really
them.
Hard.
So how did you make it happen?
I mean, it's quite... how do I tell it quickly? We made a short film. We made a short film. And the short film won an award or got nominated or something, came second. And not that I was really annoyed. We came second. And then Film 4 asked us in for a meeting and we sort of pitched it as a feature. Robert Jones, who made The Usual Suspects, he liked it. And then he came aboard as a producer. And then somehow he got... money, and then all of a sudden, the thing is, when you're like trying to make a film, it was like 2.5 years of nothing and just developing the script and all this, and then suddenly you're told you're making it in 3 weeks, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? And it's something to do with the tax break, so it had to be made before the end of the tax year or something like that, and then suddenly it's happening, and you're like, can't fucking what? And then there's another 2.5 years at the back end where you're trying to. Get people to see it.
It's difficult. I mean, there have been a lot of poor British comedies in films. I mean, there's a lot that have got through. I mean, I think the only ones I can really think of is Shaun of the Dead that were that are massively good and have successfully made it through. And there's been some good ones that haven't made it through, and there's been some weird ones that have made it through. I think it's fair to say. Sex Lives with the Potato Men is the obvious go-to place there from all the people who are in it, at least. It'd be interesting to see how it goes and if it gets taken up. But that's very exciting to finally get, that's an amazing thing to have achieved, to have got that made.
Thanks.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks a lot.
But you deserve it. You're a great comedian and you've done all this acting as well. So you're cropping up in... I see you in so many sitcoms, really.
Yeah, well, you've been loving Off the Record. And
I love Off the Record. And the character you play in that's probably David Hasselhoff's ex-boyfriend.
I'm his personal trainer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking quite fit. You're not really his personal trainer. That's just
that's just acting.
Yeah, that's good. You're a good act.
Thank you.
I think Uncle's like a really superb
Uncle's
sitcom.
Really good. Yeah.
Are you doing more of those?
I think so, but I think the people who write it and direct it need a break. I think they're going to have a. I don't know if this is true. That's what they said to me on set, or I'm not coming back. Yeah, we're going to have a break, but it's on again.
If they ever need a postman in that, just or in any of these sitcoms, I've got the uniform. That's what I'm saying. So it can.
When did you last play a postman?
I played a postman in Time, Gentlemen, Please. I was Mike the postman. Amazed you don't know that. So unbelievable, you wouldn't know that. And you filmed in Peckham.
Yeah.
You're a South London boy as well.
Yeah.
You live in Balham.
Live in Balham.
How's Balham doing? Because I used to live in Balham and it went a bit upmarket for my taste.
Yeah, it's all... I sort of moved in before everything happened and now I feel... I live on a road where it's all mothers and me. Yeah. And I started to think the other day, I thought, do I look like a pedo? Because I'm literally the only person on my street who doesn't have kids. Yeah. And when it was Halloween, I thought, because they come out, everyone comes out to drink it, and this is really tragic. I went to the shop because I thought it's Halloween and people are into it, and I bought sweets, and I thought, because they'll knock on my door, so I better have something. And I was at the window, and I saw a dad with his kids, and he went to this house, and got to mine, and he went, come on, and he walked around it. And then I had to go out and do a gig, and I thought, well, I've bought all these sweets, and like it's a shame no one's knocking on the door. So I put them in a bowl, and I put the bowl on my... like door on my doorstep outside, and I went to my gig and I came back and it was just a wet bowl of sweets that no one had touched. It's fucking tragic, isn't it? So then I was like, they genuinely think I'm dodgy.
They won't even eat.
But
your...
also, it is weird to try and give away sweets.
It's odd to leave it. It's sort of like a trap, isn't it? I mean, only the smallest child would go, well, there's something weird about either I pick that sweet up and I disappear down a hole, or it's poison sweets.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a terrorist and I wanted to attack, the heartland of Britain, that's all you do. Just get
put it in the sweets.
Loads of poison in the sweets, kill loads of tiny children.
In Balham.
Well, or anywhere. I mean, Balham's a good place to start.
Yeah.
It's not for me to tell the terrorists where to do their atrocity. I'm just
don't go to Balham.
I'm just giving them advice. I mean, the problem with it, the kids have to come to your house.
Yeah.
So, but you know, if you're a terrorist, you don't care, do you, that you're going to get caught.
Sort of depends on what their end game is.
Well, their end game is to destroy Western civilization.
But do
they start doing that like the Pied Piper by killing all the children?
It's not a bad idea. Yeah.
I say this so people will be prepared for it. So don't.
No one's ever going to take my sweets.
I wouldn't take your sweets.
No,
I don't trust you.
Yeah.
What are you doing living alone in a street full of mothers? My thing would be, you're a bloke who likes to get off with people's mums. That's what I would. Would have been my go to place. It's interesting that you're worried you're like a paedophile. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. I work out. I do. There's like a sort of gym on the very near my house, and I go there and do a workout like in the mornings, and the only people that is 17 mums and me, and I work so hard to look as non-threatening as I can so that it doesn't look creepy that we're sweating.
You know, I'm guessing your attempts to look non-creepy are creepier than
because I don't talk, so I just stand in the corner like staring down the lids. Yeah,
I think they're all really scared of you, and that's why they won't eat your sweets.
Yeah, I think you
could actually be right. Their sweets.
Yeah,
it's
a shame, isn't it?
Get a nice
shame.
Girlfriend and get married and have a baby. That's what I did.
Yeah,
it worked out well.
Yeah,
it's really
that
nice.
Pretty quick, right?
Yeah, I was at 40 when I got married. 40 when I met my wife. 44 when I got married. 47 when I had a baby. Quick
perfect.
As hell. There's no way I've left it too late. I'm definitely going to die. I'm going to die, but I will die, you know...
With a lovely young
family.
Well,
she'll be, you know, I'll die having had all the fun years and not have to put up with the teenage years.
Yeah.
So that is
I think you've nailed it.
I have nailed it.
Yeah. Are you going to have more?
I don't know. I hope if I ever can ever have sex again.
Yeah.
But one
has
of them
the libido gone because you're tired? Or
Well, I don't know. I think I'm not. My libido with my wife is fine. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But that kind of, which, you know, so it's a good thing. But like, in that, oh, fuck, I'm 40. I'm kind of writing about, I don't know how married men can, if married men feel the same things as I was feeling then, I don't see how any, you know, people should be applauded to be, the men should be lauded on high for not having affairs, is my sort of stupid argument, you know, fucking 40. But, you know, that isn't, it's not like something.
If you had a robot woman in the house.
I just want to have sex with a robot. And that, so that is what I'm...
Your tastes have changed, you're
mad
maturing.
I'm mad for robot. But if, I'm just trying to determine the point. For you, it's the face, which is interesting. No one else has got that close. It's a human being just without a face. That's pretty close. You and I are nearly on the same...
Yeah, but take the face off and then it is just
it's the same thing.
A box with
I think most people, it's, you know, it's once the thing starts to resemble a human shape, but they wouldn't be... If it was a square thing, you just put your penis in and
but
it jiggled around.
But isn't that sort of worse?
Yeah, so people wouldn't mind about that because that's a thing that's allowed. That's my point, is that what's the real... My point, and the husband from Humans, who's just an ordinary bloke who gets, is a horrible prick and gets slightly annoyed with his wife and decides to have sex with a robot. And, oh, he never hears the last of it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I was just interested trying to have this discussion with your wife. And I liked about it was how seriously she took it. And like it could... And then Anna said, you know there won't be robots you can have sex with within my sexual lifetime.
There are.
They're not as good as the one in human. I'm only talking about the one in... They've got to look like the woman in humans. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
What I want to try and do is get a part in humans where...
As a postman.
Where I have sex with... The postman comes in and has sex with the robot.
The postman
I've
comes in and says,
costume.
I've got a delivery for both of you.
I've got the costume.
And then... Okay.
And then that's it. That's all I want to do.
Okay.
That's the limit of my ambitions now.
This is good. I think all of this is achievable.
Good. Let me just check. I haven't got anything to say to you. I don't think I've got to say anything to you. I wanted to see, is Peter Bacon Bacconin? No. Okay, good. Yeah? Is Peter O'Brien in? No. Okay. So I just needed to... There's a bit at the end of the show about them, but I thought they might be here from the way they phrased it.
Hmm.
But they're not.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you another emergency question that's worked well so far. Let's give it another go. And I can't ask you that one. What is the secret of happiness? So that I can... If you can give me this... I'm doing a preview tomorrow and I've only got 10 minutes of material. If you could make this as funny as possible, it would be really helpful.
It's heroin.
Do you think you're a happy person? No.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to be happy when you're young. So you're 30-something, 20, late 30s.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah. If,
40, it's hard 50. To... but happiness is always... The thing is, there was science on this, wasn't there? Do you
there
remember?
There probably is, yeah.
Science on it. Yeah. And basically, most people... Do you know all this? I don't want to bore you.
No.
This is the science. But if you ask people what will make them happy, a lot of people go like, oh, I just need a car, or I need a better job, or I need a house. And then once they get those things, there's a little spike in their happiness, and that lasts for a month. And then they go back to this level. And then they go, well, I would need a better car or a better thing. Mm. And then there's a little spike again, but it only lasts about a month. And the only thing that keeps that level up is helping others. Which neither of us do.
And also sex with robots.
And helping sexy robots is the holy grail.
We help other people to feel slightly uncomfortable about the
to feel better about themselves. Things.
They go, at least my life isn't as bad as Rich. Yeah. I think, do you think that by that comedians, if they're not unhappy and not funny, do you really think that?
I don't know the answer. I hear there are people who are happy, but I always think, what the fuck are you writing about then? Yeah. Like what? Like as in, I'm thinking there's comedy where it's just people going, everything's really great, isn't it? Oh, look at this button. It's I love buttons, and I always think, I don't give a shit about your fucking buttons. It's much better for comedy to
That's
be.
That's 5 minutes of tomorrow's gig gone. I love button bit. Yeah. Fucking ruin. I can't do that now. Really pleased with that. Thought everyone would identify with that.
So sorry.
I think it's true what you're saying.
Yeah.
No one is happy. When you get happy, no one's satisfied with the happiness. But also, if you've got the kind of personal happiness where you're in a nice relationship and have, say, children, then you're just terrified of it going wrong. So you can never.
Okay. Yeah.
You can never enjoy the happiness. But that's true. But any situation of power or.
Do you find it harder to leave the house to go to gigs now that you're happy with a baby and
no.
a wife? You race it out of the car.
I know. It's hard being away for a few days, but it's not. You know, it's nice to know they're there to return to. But you know, I think being a comedian, you see your family more than you would. The weird thing is, if I had a proper job.
Yeah,
that was 9 to 5. I would just have to get. That's why people who have proper jobs get tired having babies because they have to get up every day, whatever's happened, and they have to go to work.
So you can sleep
Whereas,
all
but
day.
But most days, I don't really sleep all day. But most days, I don't. You know, I don't have anywhere to go. And if I, but it's bad because it means if I'm too tired to work, I just don't do any work.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got a proper job, you have to go to work and do the work.
A baby is a tremendous excuse to get out of shit.
It is. It's really good.
That's basically the only reason I'd want one. It's to get out of social engagement. Yeah. People always pull the old baby out. And
can't do anything about it.
Can't argue with a baby.
It's perfect. Because I don't really like... My baby is incredibly sociable.
Shit.
And my wife isn't that sociable. We're both quite awkward, geeky people. And I'm not sociable. My baby loves Everyone except us.
So you're going, oh, we can't come to this party. Yeah. And the baby's going, yeah, we can.
We want to go.
Shit.
What are you talking about?
This is you're a nightmare. Nothing.
But when, you know, she just smiles at everyone. She wants to be involved in everything.
My sister's just had a baby.
Yeah.
It's a surrogate. Well, it's a very complicated baby.
Yeah.
I can say this, we're all, it's not her egg.
Right.
It's her husband's sperm. It's a Jamaican lady's egg.
Okay.
And it was made in a woman in Utah. They've had very long time trying to get, but it's very difficult. But now there's this baby.
Yeah.
I fucking love her. I love her so much. And I hold her and you feel at peace and you think, oh, this is nice, isn't it? And then the other day I was holding her and it was just me and her in the living room and I was sort of lying down. She was on my legs and then and I fed her a bottle and then she puked, just staring me in the eye. Went bleh, bleh, bleh for ages, like The Exorcist. And I laughed so much that I started to think, well, we're both going to drown because I'm crying with laughter. I thought someone needs to come in because this is it. And just kept going. Lovely stuff.
It's lovely. I was doing that the other day.
It's magic.
I was trying to go across the room to get a muslin cloth to just wipe her face. And as I was crossing the room, she started doing that. She did that puke.
Oh, really?
And then I didn't have a cloth because the cloth was over there. And so then for a moment, I just tried tipping her in a way that the sink wouldn't come up. And I thought, that's probably not a good thing to do.
Just holding her by her feet.
But actually just trying to keep the sink in there.
Oh, right. No, you don't.
Yeah, so that was probably a bad thing to do. We can have another baby, though. You know, it's that the first one's a practice.
The first one's a practice, yeah.
And then you get good at keeping them alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed she's been alive for 5 months at the time of recording. If she's died subsequently, just put a picture of me looking sad. Let's cut this in if it's it's sad she's died and everything.
I'm so sorry.
Feel partly responsible.
Yeah.
Don't put the bit in where I laugh and don't cut to it. Let me do it properly. It is sad that my daughter is dead.
From you feeding her own sick.
Don't make me laugh because it'll ruin the tribute. So like some people think this kind of thing is a bad idea because you're tempting fate.
Yeah.
I don't believe that myself. I think it's quite funny.
Let's see what happens.
People thought I would stop finding dead babies amusing once I had a baby.
I
find it slightly funnier.
Yeah. Well, the stakes are much higher.
The stakes are high, and so but that's why it's not like when I didn't have a baby. I was thinking, it doesn't matter if a baby dies; it's just a baby. The joke was, it's the worst thing that could happen. So it's now doubly the worst thing that can happen. So it's twice as funny.
I'm
terrified. It's the worst thing in the world, having responsibility for another human being. Stay single forever. Doesn't matter if people think you're a paedophile. As long as you aren't one. Yeah. If you are one, that's a terrible thing. Okay. Seek some help.
Okay.
Turn yourself
in. Can I just
in.
Say I'm definitely not a paedophile? Okay. Before this goes, I don't want to leave just a gap where smile like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we all know it's a joke. Yeah, yeah. I don't want that coming
that's
back to
haunt
me. That's
what Jimmy Savile said though, right? Am I right? So he made a big point of saying
really
it.
He never really said it, did he?
He did to Louis Theroux.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Can't. Well, that's the problem. You can't win.
Yeah.
If you say you are a paedophile, that's bad. If you say you aren't one, that's also bad.
What about? What if I say I'm indifferent?
Yeah. I say I'm on the fence. I think you know.
Yeah.
If I had to come down one side, I'd say it's bad. That's what I say.
Yeah. I've looked at it.
I've weighed it up.
I've tried both ways. No, I haven't. I haven't. Please cut that out. Jesus Christ.
It's going to be. But I'm glad that Dave's editing this week because Ben Walker would, if he had any hair, would be tearing it out. he hates editing stuff. Are you looking forward to editing this, Dave?
Nope. I'm sorry, Dave.
This is an emergency question I don't ask very often.
Okay.
Do you have a favourite towel?
Do you know what?
I only bring that out on very special occasions.
I realised the other day, I was literally thinking about that. I've got two towels.
Yeah.
I've got two towels in my whole house, and I'm starting to think that's not enough. So I have a favourite. Yeah. I have one white and one brown.
Yeah.
The brown is my favourite.
How dark is the brown?
Like that.
Yeah.
Bit for
is it your favourite just because it hides a multitude of sins?
Yeah, because you think it can last longer. they rotate.
Yeah. Yeah, you need more than two.
Yeah, you need more than two, don't you? Well, now it's summer and you can't, you know,
I'll
heat them up.
You get paid for coming on this. I'm going to pay you with towels.
Serious?
I'm going to send you £150 worth of towels from John Lewis.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Give me your address.
That cuts
Give
out the middleman. That's what I'd have spent it on. So yeah. That's
tax deductible, that is.
Thank you very much.
No, the taxman will never
Genuinely,
know.
Genuinely, thank you.
Edit that bit out where I say the taxman will never know. You have to put them on your claim.
Okay.
plus £150 of the towels. And you'll
You're
have
gonna
to
get
pay.
A fucking nice towel for £150.
You can get, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go backstage with you. I'm gonna let you choose what they
oh,
are.
Wow. This is like Jim will
it's
fix
gonna
it.
Be like I'm gonna go on eBay and see if I can find a Jim will fix it towel for
okay.
you. That'll be one of the towels. They
no,
can't be. Do you think they'll be more expensive or less expensive now? More.
Higher.
Oh, someone knows. Oh, no. Thought someone had a point. They went, No, okay. I just wanted to say that my Jimmy Savile merchandise has gone down through the floor. See, it's a good question. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
Yeti.
No, oh, sorry, no, not that. I haven't seen specifically the Bigfoot.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Have a sister.
Has she ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, she hasn't. Okay. But...
Yeah.
Me and her have seen a ghost.
Have you? Well, that's going to be one of
you've
question.
Had that, haven't you?
That's all right, I can never have too many ghosts. You've both seen a ghost together.
Yeah. We were at the same time experiencing the ghost.
Yeah, what was the...
It was a poltergeist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For real.
Were you at Bridget Christie's house?
No.
Okay.
I was in Cornwall or Devon.
Yeah. It's all the same.
Yeah. And...
It's all spooky.
Oh, hang on. Where was Bridget from? Cornwall? No.
Well, she's in Taunton. She was. She saw the ghost who went...
It was a touring
That's
ghost.
That's Somerset.
Anyway... We went to visit some friends and they were staying in, they have like a sort of holiday home and we were staying in a hotel near it and their mum had died quite recently, very sadly. And we were in the hotel and then one day they all came to the hotel and they said, we're moving into the hotel. And we were like, what's happened? And they said, there's a ghost. And we were all excited thinking, oh, maybe it's the mum, you know, we're all excited. And we said, what happened? And the two girls had been in these bunk beds and they'd gone to sleep and they'd been eating sweets and they turned out the light, like, good night. And then a sweet hit one of them in the head and she went, stop throwing sweets to her mate. And the mate went, I haven't. And then got hit in the head again. They turn on the lights, sweets are flying around the room. They go into the dad. They say, this fucking shit's going off. In the bedroom, he says, don't be ridiculous, there's no such thing. He walks into the bedroom and that, as a joke, goes, stop throwing sweets at my daughter. Bang, sweet, it's him. They all scream, run out. So we go back in the daylight, like, yeah, it must be interesting. We go in the house, nothing happens. I go to the bathroom. Interestingly, I do a wee-wee.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And I don't flush. I forget to flush. Terrible, I was young. My dad puts 20p, 50p and a pound on the bunk bed. We stand there. As I come out the bathroom, the toilet flushes and two bits of money come, one from this room, one from that room, go bang, meet in the middle. We all fucking scream, run out. Explain that.
It didn't happen. You are mentally, there's a lot of mentally ill comedians as well. You know, the magnet. There's a magnet in there.
Giant magnet?
Yeah, magnet that was attracted sweets as well towards people's heads.
A very and also a very hygienic magnet.
Where did they eat the sweets afterwards?
The ghosts?
No, the human beings. They go back, what happened to the sweets?
That's what worries you. Yeah.
I'm thinking there's some free sweets being chucked sweets. Around.
I know, they left the sweets. Everyone was terrified of the sweets.
I'd have gone back and eaten the sweets.
Yeah.
What kind of sweets?
They had magnets in them.
All the better.
Yeah.
It's quite a scary story.
Really scary, yeah. I mean, listen.
What do you, how do you explain it?
I genuinely am like, I don't know what happened. I think it's to do with energy in it or something. Yeah. Maybe we were all really wound up.
Is it possible that one of the kids from the family
was
just chucking the stuff around?
No, because they weren't there. It was just us.
Weren't they?
No, they weren't. They were in the car.
Could they have snuck back into the house?
No.
Okay. I don't think there are ghosts.
I know you don't. And listen, I didn't until...
Why would they throw sweets at people?
Maybe they're what chocolatiers. And they had... I mean, look, it's a good point. Why does anyone throw sweets? Maybe they lived alone, are surrounded by mothers, and they thought, why will no one take our sweets? And they started throwing them at people. Take my fucking sweets!
All right, I believe you now.
Thank you.
Do you have any webbed toes?
No. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Be good if that other people did. Would you tell me if you did have webbed
toes? Yeah, I'd show you.
Would you? Mm. I didn't even think to ask. Bridget.
What's the point of filming this? I know. If you're not getting people to get...
I've got too much. I respect her too much. I don't respect you too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't respect many people that much to not think to ask to see their webbed toes.
Yeah.
But it would seem inappropriate to do it to her. But if I had webbed toes, I'd show you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you. So you're giving me a towel and you'd show me... Yeah. I mean, this is one of the best nights of my life.
We're going to go out. We're going to choose the towels. John Lewis.
Yeah?
And we get different size ones. You can, if you want, we can get all the... We can just get
all the sizes.
Just go right through, get all the sizes. That won't even be 120, 150 quid.
Holy
That'll
shit.
Be like about, I don't even know what it is. If we get them in the sale, who knows?
How often is the towel sale happening?
Well, I think there is a sale at John Lewis. It's very good, John Lewis.
Yeah?
It'd be good if John Lewis would
put some billboards
sponsor this podcast.
Yeah.
Because they'd like, it would be better than, we just get like idiots from the internet with crazy ideas that will never work.
No one's given in towels.
No one's, yeah. Yeah. Anyone from John Lewis? Is anyone in from John Lewis? It's unlikely. Is John Lewis in? Because he could green light that straight away.
Yeah.
Already done. Like, that was a free advert for your towels. I bet you there'll be, when this comes out, John Lewis, there'll be John Lewis going, why have we sold a lot of towels?
Why have we sold? Specifically £150 worth.
They'll be all at home. You'll all be getting your towels tomorrow in the playground. How long have we done?
I don't know. I have no idea.
How long have we done, Dave?
Too long.
Once you edit all the bits out, how long have we done?
4 minutes.
Shit.
I'm very excited about all the stuff you're doing. I'm thinking
Thank you.
It's all going very well.
Thanks.
If you're in Hollywood, will you remember me and come
yes,
back on the
I
podcast?
Yes, because I feel like a lot of this is going to come back and haunt me.
If you're in Hollywood, we'll cut it out now, but if you get to Hollywood, we're going to release the next game.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't said anything that... Oh, the things you've said have been fine. Seriously.
Don't trick me. I'm not joking. With your charming.
It'll make people will be more intrigued. The people at home will go, I wonder what he said about David Hasselhoff that we can't hear.
Yeah.
And then they'll hear it when I put it out in the future. And they'll go, very disappointed. Anyway, sorry we're making it harder, Dave. I will ask you, it would be great if you'd seen a Bigfoot. That would have just been the perfect...
I'm so sorry.
Do you ever... No, I've forgotten we talked about that. Were you ever rude to a celebrity when you were a child?
No, I've got... I met Steve Martin once, but it's fucking so tragic. It's one of the saddest stories of my life. Do you want that?
I do. Were you a child or were you a grown up?
Was he
in the strip club?
No. Yeah. I went on holiday once, and Steve Martin is properly like a hero, my hero.
Yeah.
Mine. And and I went on holiday, and we went to this beach, and there was waves, and I love waves, and I was swimming out and like body surfing in, and next to me was Steve Martin. I was like, it's a fucking, holy shit, that's Steve Martin. And I was like, it can't be. And it was, and he liked waves as much as I did. And I was so free, I was like, shit. And I kept sort of next to him, body surfing. A couple of times I sort of bumped into him and didn't say anything, just, oh, God. And then I went back the next day and he was there again. And then so basically 5 days in a row, I surfed with Steve Martin. And it was such a long time that I started to think, we've built up a relationship. I keep coming back to surf with Steve Martin. But I was scared to talk to him. I didn't want to sort of ruin it. And then at the end of the last day, we're walking back to the car. And as we're walking to the car,
he was behind me with his whoever he was with, and I was like, fuck, he's right behind me, he's my hero, fuck. And I was thinking, well, it's a sign, he's right behind me, I've got to say something. And my dad was like loading up the car, and then it turned out his car was right next to our car, so then he was just stood there, and I'm thinking, well, we spent 5 days surfing together, my heart was going shit. And then I just turned to him, like really suddenly, like I basically sort of must have gone, say something now, but I hadn't planned what I'd say. And I sort of panicked, sort of turned to him, and I went, this is an honor surfing with you, man. And as soon as I said it, I wanted to cry, and I immediately turned back and jumped in the car, and I said to my dad, drive. And poor Steve Martin, didn't he? Just was like, he went like that, and then we were sort of screeching out. And he went, hi. And I wanted to cry. I've never really got over that, I have to say. That was the last time I was happy.
I don't think Steve Martin feels.
Yeah.
He was very upset.
I don't think he understood what I meant. Because I was like, we've been surfing a week, haven't we, mate? And it was an honour.
Oh.
Tragic.
It's sad.
Yeah.
What's your new Edinburgh show about?
It is about drugs and fame and the Burning Man Festival.
Oh.
Is what it's about.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you're going to tour this show?
Maybe.
Because this podcast might go out...
after Edinburgh.
Might be about in Edinburgh. Where are you on in Edinburgh?
I'm in the Pleasance Courtyard in the Beneath at 9:30.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Good.
It's where we used to hang out in the dressing room.
It was, yeah. It was
every good. Day.
That's right.
Not by, like, as in, we both were doing shows. It wasn't like
it
we
was
just...
a locker room, though.
Yeah,
we did have a dressing room and a locker room. We did. We met. We it was nice. That was nice. That it year. Was that nice. Was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's carry on for another half an hour, just to make sure we've got enough. But please do keep saying things that we can't use. Just pepper them.
Yeah.
Just pepper them throughout. Yeah. It's been really great. I'm really looking forward to the film. And so,
thank you.
Will that be everywhere? Will we be able to
It'll
see
be
that
everywhere, everywhere, and I think within a short period of time, it will be available online. I would so much rather you see it at the cinema.
Go and see it at the cinema. But support British cinema.
Yeah.
Catherine Tate.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
David Harewood.
The lady out of right? Game of Thrones, my favourite show.
Which one was it out of Game of Thrones?
Nat Tenner. I don't watch it. She plays a woman in the woods. Is that a thing?
I think she's been bullshitting. Is that how she got the part? I'm the woman in the woods.
She's naked in it, but isn't okay. Everyone? Everyone is.
Is she?
I can't watch it since I'm off porn. Okay. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
Not Natalie Dormer.
No, not Natalie no. Dormer.
I know Natalie. I play poker with Natalie Dormer.
Oh yeah.
Who plays Marjorie? Is that right?
Do you watch
okay.
it?
Okay. I really like it, but I can never remember the names of any of okay. the characters. There's Lannister, Ian Lannister, Simon Lannister. They've all got the same name.
Okay.
There's a dragon in it. There's a dragon
What's
called...
What's the dragon called?
Drogon.
Really?
Is that right? Three of them. Well, this one of them's called Drogon. The other
that
one's called
Dragon.
That's
a lazy name for a dragon.
Drogon. Dragon. Nograd. They did it. That was... it's all right.
Yeah.
Unlike in humans, at least they show some bums and stuff in it.
No bums in
no
humans?
No, humans, they just cut away. It's rubbish.
Even robot bums?
Yeah, I want to see a robot bum. They can just cut to it and then it's just like metal.
They can do it if they remove the face.
Yeah.
I've been clear on the rules.
Yeah. And if see, it has a light, if they open up and there's a light.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested in. Well, how can you be appalled by that? It's a robot vagina or anus or urethra of a penis.
You're right, actually. If it's got a light inside, I think you're going to get away with your infidelity.
Yeah. If it's your penis, if it's
making
a robot,
that noise.
And then it's like a laser on the wall. Yeah. And it's kind of slightly bobbling around.
Yeah.
No one could be upset by you sucking that. No one.
No.
There's not a woman in the world who wouldn't say, well, that's the most natural thing. I've ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up. The fantastic Brett Goldstein, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring, that's the Square Theatre Podcast, with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Brett Goldstein. The music is by Pest. Thanks to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone from GoldbusterStripe.com, especially Chris Evans. Not that one, he's doing Top Gear. You idiot. The producer is Dave Cribb. It's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato Production. Thanks for listening. You can support us in lots of different ways. Why not go to gofasterstripe.com/badges? Pay £1 a month, you get extra access to loads of behind-the-scenes stuff, extra questions, all sorts of malarkey. Or go to Kickstarter and help fund our campaign for some more videos that way. All of this has been brought to you thanks to these wonderful people. Matthew Smith, Ewan Duncan, Rob Applin, Darren Foote, Colin Anderson, Raymond Harpany, Kevin Tipcorn, Steve Mash, Dean Ratland, Gaynor Wilson, Adam Queck, Stuart Fawcett, Tim Turner, Julian Benton, Thomas Baldwin, Lauren Pilkington, Matthew Blackburn, Neil Martin, Jack Burton, Fraser Levy, Gina Lynn, Paul Jeffrey, Rob Ward, Robert Tang Richardson, Leo Vigoda, Carol Forster, Icky Kawa, Cole McGonigal, Aurora Watters, Jake, Heather Henderson, Simon Carl, Christine Sato, David Collier, Jijin John, Roy Owens, Matthew Poynton, and Chris Whitworth, Justin Fisher, Neil Taylor, Mothy, John Jordan, Peter McMinn, Gareth Williams, Philip McGrath, Matthew Fook. Fook. Come on, that's not real. David Thompson. So thank you very much to all of them, especially Matthew Fook. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.